morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 43. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 43. Now, as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." Immediately he got up. And all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at the time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But then Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed there many days in Joppa with the tanner named Simon. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this day, Lord. We want to thank you that you've given us this opportunity to experience a beautiful day today, Father. We want to thank you that every heartbeat, every breath comes from you, Lord. We want to thank you for this, Father God. I will pray and welcome your Holy Spirit to be here, Lord. Whatever that comes out of my mouth, Father God, I pray that it will be of you, Lord. And you will increase and I'll decrease, Father God. We want to thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. In your Son Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So before I go into today's verse, I want to give a brief summary of what happened before verse 32. So Acts chapter 9 started with Saul persecuting Christians in and around Jerusalem. Then on the way to Damascus, he encountered Jesus. And he was converted and started preaching to the Jews. But they didn't listen to him and wanted to kill him. So eventually he had to be sent to Tarsus and started his ministry to the Gentiles, which actually was God's intention at the first place, because he was supposed to preach to the Gentiles. Saul started to persecute Christians at around AD 34, and he became a believer at AD 39. So the whole process took 5 years. It was not a small process. It took him from him believed to he started to understand his ministry and his direction. It took him 5 years. So here we are today in today's passage, verse 32 onwards. The focus shifts to Peter. By this time in history, the pattern of apostles staying put in Jerusalem has shifted from what was reflected in Acts 5:16, where we see people going to the apostles in Jerusalem for healing and hearing the gospel. By now, Peter is traveling through the land and eventually came down to Lydda. Lydda is located near modern-day Lod, the site of Ben-Gurion Airport outside Tel Aviv in Israel. As Peter was traveling around, he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. If you notice in the verse it talked about, he found. Peter was constantly on the move looking for opportunities to serve. He wasn't sitting there waiting for people to come to him and for help anymore. While he was on the move for looking for opportunities, his motivation was to glorify God. If you notice when he healed a man, he said, "Jesus Christ heals you." Simple and easy. That's all he used. Jesus Christ's name. The power and healing comes only from Jesus Christ. Peter took no credit whatsoever of the healing. We can learn so much from Peter on what keeps a man and a woman usable in service for or the ministry of God. We are not to be stagnant, waiting for opportunities to serve, but proactively seeking opportunities to serve. And the motivation is to see Jesus Christ glorified and Him alone. When I was reading this, I had a thought in my mind. What if we applied this proactiveness in serving and reaching out to the people. How much more the church will be able to make a difference in the world. How much more SP will be even be better than it is now if you apply the same attitude as Peter. There will be no shortage of volunteers in any ministry. There will be no, it won't be the same 10% serving the 90% in the church. Everyone will be serving. Let's hope and pray that will happen. And then in verse 36 and 37, we are introduced to a woman called Tabitha, or Dorcas in Greek. She was from a small seacoast town called Joppa, which is around 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Her name in Aramaic and Greek both means gazelle, a type of deer. Looking into the characteristics of a gazelle, it is a smart, adaptive, and robust creature. Perhaps her name indicates a woman of energy, grace, beauty, and quick movements. Also, having her both names recorded may very well be showing her ministry was both to Jews and Hellenistic believers. Dorcas is the first Greek name of a female mentioned in the New Testament. She was also called a disciple. The Greek word used is methetria, M-A-T-H-E-T-R-I-A. This word is only used in this verse in the whole New Testament. So we know that the Holy Spirit is talking about someone unique and special in God's eyes. She was a woman of good reputation, a very special and good example that the Holy Spirit wants us to learn from. So obviously you will think, what's so special about her that she's mentioned in such a special way, right? Dorcas is singled out as a woman and a disciple who was full of good works and charitable deeds. She was practical and she was admired. She was an admired member of the community and esteemed by all. She didn't just talk of doing good, as the verse 36 talks about. She was doing good and continually. If you notice in the whole story, she was never recorded speaking about anything. In the later verses, you see other people whom she have helped speaking on behalf of her, weeping of her loss. When I was reading, I sensed the Holy Spirit is showing me that her actions speak for herself. Perhaps the best and truest praise one receives comes from the heart of others. This certainly was Tabitha's legacy. Another highlight is her good works were not, from a man's perspective, grand or glittery. Her smallest act of kindness were noticed by God. In those times, being a widow meant a woman whose husband was dead and who has no means of financial support. Therefore, she needed constant physical, legal, and financial assistance and protection. It's not a good place to be. Being a widow was virtually synonymous with being poor. Dorcas was making or mending clothes for these widows. She was serving people that can't provide or can't support themselves, and she did it continually. It was a task that looked small, but was a difficult task. She will have to go to the market, to the shops, pay her own money, get the cloth, carry it back, cut it into different pieces, sew them back together, because Jewish garments have different layers, so obviously she would have different cloths she have to carry and bring everything all together. Just imagine how many hours she has spent for just one widow. I always imagine, I mean, when I was like reading about this, I always imagine that how many fingers have been pierced when she was sewing the cloths. How much blood that could have, like, she has seen, right? I mean, I don't know if you guys, but I've experienced sewing, then I always pierce my fingers with the needle. So it was a tedious, painful, and tiring job that she was doing. Yet Dorcas is mentioned in such a special way, and special and unique way shows no matter how small, tedious, and painful we think our task in serving is, God sees it with immense importance and great joy. God sees our smallest acts of service for community. God sees you preparing your food for your house church. He sees us cleaning after service, even when it's not our house church turn. He sees us picking up that tissue paper that's lying on the sanctuary and throwing it in the rubbish bin. He sees us tidying up the chairs and the Bibles in the shelves. God sees us caring for his body, and that always pleases him. So I was thinking, how was Dorcas able to do this continually day in and day out? Because it's tough, right? It's not easy. So I was reminded when I was during the house church break just now, like a month ago, I took one of the SP Learning Institute classes about leading worship in small groups. One of the week PNET showed a video that was talking about how God listens to our worship when we are worshiping him in adversity. And when we worship him, even when we don't feel like it, that is when God will intentionally listen to our worship, and he won't care about how good or bad we sing. And it pleases God's heart and put a smile on his face. I think the same can be applied in serving. When Dorcas was serving, I assume there were days when she was tired, when she may be disappointed or even discouraged by the people that she was helping. The widows might come to her and say, why does clothes make me look fat or thin or things like that, right? But she kept on going. She kept on serving. She didn't stop. I think her attitude wasn't serving only the widows alone. She had God in mind, and when she was serving, she knew how important and precious widows are and orphans are to God. Looking after the marginalized is the will and heart of God, as shown in Psalm 146, verse 9. I'll read it out. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widows, but he thwarts the ways of the wicked. Anyone here looking for the will of God? Look after the marginalized. That's his will. She was serving the widows, but with the heart that was serving and obeying God and God alone. It makes serving in any capacity so much joyful if we only have one person to please, right? So we don't have a bunch, we just have to please one person. If our focus and heart is to serve the audience, the one audience, and that audience is God, we won't be affected by discouragements, disappointments, or require of others' affirmation of our serving. All that won't matter anymore because we know God is seeing what we are doing, and he is proud of each of our actions that we are doing for him. If we all have this attitude, how easy will it be to submit to our leaders? How easy will it be for the leaders to be respected because we are serving God and not affected by other people? How easy and joyful will it be to be able to get along with people that get on our nerves? Believe me, we all have such people. It will be so much easier to feel how God feels and listen to the Holy Spirit when we treat every serving opportunity as serving God first. Sadly, a lot of times we won't treasure things until they are gone. Dorcas got sick and died. Peter was requested to come and notice in verse 39, Peter responded immediately. He was immediately available. He didn't wait for whether it was convenient for him. He just went. There was a need for one dead person, and he rose immediately. You may have heard before about the term, the greatest ability is availability. By being available and being ready to be used by God, we are already on the path to be used by God for his kingdom. Anyone wants to be used by God, be available. After arriving, Peter asked everyone to leave, knelt down and prayed, and said to the body, Tabitha, arise, which in Aramaic means Tabitha Kumi. Just like Jesus said, Talitha Kumi in Mark 5, verse 41, same vocabulary, same phrases, same authoritative tone. Peter was duplicating what he saw in Jesus Christ. He was imitating Christ. Exactly the same thing that we learned past Sunday. Like Father, like Son. Then Dorcas came back to life. By her coming back to life, many believed. One dead woman raised caused many in Joppa to believe in Jesus Christ. One paralyzed man able to walk caused towns came to Jesus. Never underestimate what you're doing in your ministry or in the area you're serving. As I was preparing this, thing, I was just reminded about a story I heard from the videos in Alpha about a man named Albert McMakin. Albert was 24 years old. He was a farmer back in the States. He just became a Christian. He heard there was a church event, and he wanted to invite all his friends. There was one guy in particular that he really wanted to invite, but obviously the guy wasn't interested because he was having his good time and fun times in his life. So he had an idea to offer this man to drive his van. This guy wasn't keen to go, but he was happy to drive his van because during the event, he'll be able to drive around by himself. After arriving, the guy agreed eventually to drive the van. After arriving at the event, this guy was curious and went into the church event, and he was spellbound. He went back night after night, and on the last day of this event, this man gave his life to Jesus. Since that day, hundreds and millions, almost half of the world, have heard about this about Christian faith through this man. He had been a friend of numerous U.S. presidents. Of course, this man is Billy Graham. We can't all be Billy Grahams, but we can all be Albert McMakin, introducing someone to Jesus. You may be a Noah's Ark teacher speaking about Jesus to a 3 years old. That little kid may look back and say, I had a Noah's Ark teacher who loved Jesus, and there was something special in him or her that had left great impression on me and had positive impact on my life. Somehow I remember what she said about Jesus. You may be serving and speaking to someone who is dead spiritually in homies, in freedom, or in recreation ministries. But you never know the seed that was sown and the fruit that will be coming from that one person. And if you think about it, seeds, most of the things happen under the ground when we sow a seed. Usually we won't be able to see what's happening. We only see it when it grows out of it, but there's a lot of things that is happening inside the soil. So do not give up in serving in any capacity. As I close, may I invite Ernie to lead us into a song. The thing that I hope that we can get out from today, from this message, is the proactiveness of Peter, constantly looking for opportunities to serve and glorify God. The attitude of Dorcas to help and serve the people in need around us. I would like to go back to the idea of audience of one. So let's close our eyes and spend some time in examining ourselves. Why are we sometimes disappointed or tired in serving? Why do we get burned out? Are we serving with the mindset of serving God and Him alone, who truly understands us, who truly sees what we are doing? Or we are serving to please someone else? Let's spend some time and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it'll always be, it's always been you, Jesus. else, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Center of it all. Just be the center of my life. Jesus at the center of my life. Jesus at the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus, nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do, Jesus, you're the center, everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Center of it all. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. And everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Center of it all. Jesus be the center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Think this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Center of it all. Center of it all. Jesus, center of it all. Center of it all.
Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you that you're the center of everything, Father God. We want to thank you, Lord. We come here and repent if there's anything that we put above you, Father. And we, Lord, continue to teach us to make you be the center of everything, Father. Because without you, nothing else matters, Father God. We want to thank you for this opportunity to look back and reflect on our lives, Father God. And we pray that moving forward, we'll only have that one audience, and that is you, God. And with that, we'll be able to achieve the will that you have for each and every one of us here, Father God. We thank you in Jesus' name. So as we move into the prayer list, let's pray for our community that's going through cancer, our brothers and sisters that are going through cancer and chemotherapy. And spend some time. Also pray for Calvin as he continues to having his treatment. Let's pray for the community, brothers and sisters that are going through cancer and also need the salvation. Pray that someone will be able to speak and introduce Jesus to them, and that their heart will be softened and they'll hear the good news. Let's continue to pray for members of our community that are going through different illness and infirmities. Let's turn to the next slide. Pray for our sister Liz, who will be able to find a job. I also pray that this slide will be empty very soon. Moving on to the next slide. Let's pray for Saturday's focus. Let's pray for North Korea and open doors in the ministry. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the leaders of North Korea and everyone that's involved in this situation. Pray for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. The persecuted churches in the Middle East. Pray for the SB weekend gatherings, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, the worship, hospitality, SB Youth, Yahweh, SB Indonesia, and all the activities, GIC, LAM, and all the meetings. Pray for SP 2.0, the new building and resources, and pray for the benefactor. Pray for the house churches that are meeting today, Fortress, Mawan, Southside, Westside, that they will have a great discussion time and the presence of Holy Spirit will be in their house churches when they do worship and study the Word. Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on our behalf. We were supposed to be on the cross, but your Son, your Holy Son, your pure Son took that spot for us so that we can live. Father God, I pray that we'll be able to live our lives with this attitude of gratitude, Father God. We want to thank you, Lord, and I pray that I'll continue to bless the day today and the weekends, Father God. We want to thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.